Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box, and yes, it's time to kick some ass. It's your girl, Brandi Stankovic. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that my good friend, Eddie Garcia, is here. We're going to learn a little bit more about his story, and we're going to talk about perseverance through tragedy and what it takes to really focus on results, focus on what's next, focus on how to act and drive growth in a new normal. And I think his story and all the things that we talk about today will apply to many of you. So let's get started. As you know, we break the podcast up into three segments, the learn, the love, and the kick ass. So in the learn today, I'm going to share a little bit about perseverance and what that means in a general sense. And then in the love section, we'll get right in and we're going to talk to Eddie about his story and what he went through and how he has grown from that process and everything that he is doing now to inspire others. And then in kick ass, we'll leave you with some tools and things that you can walk away and implement. And as you know, this podcast is driven to give you what you need to make a difference. And I think that nothing is more important than getting back up after tragedy. Now, whatever tragedy looks like for you, some of you that are listening or watching have been through something very significant. Some of you that are joining us today have been through something tremendous that none of the rest of us would even fathom or understand. Some of you have been through death or devastation or world tragedy, and some of you haven't been through any of that. And some of you have been through your own, what you might consider a tragedy, but I might seem trivial. But this isn't about judgment. What this is about is understanding anything that you've been through, being able to grow from that. And that's part of the challenge that I see in perseverance and tragedy. And challenge is that not creating judgment within it. And so perseverance in a general sense or definition is being steadfast despite difficulty. So not giving up. So no matter what, not giving up and going forth. And maybe you've heard some of these stories, some famous failures or those stories of different celebrities that had to work really hard to get through a challenge. Stephen King's first novel was rejected 30 times before it was published. Thomas Edison failed 1,000 times before creating the light bulb, and thank goodness he kept going, right? I mean, think about that. Jay-Z couldn't get signed to a record label, and so he created his own and just basically then just went around brushing his shoulders off, right? No. Right. And then Michael Jordan was cut from his high school varsity basketball team, and then one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And these are all just challenges or hurdles that these different superstars faced and yet kept going. And so whether it's a challenge or a tragedy, we have got to keep going and move forward. And so getting back to what I was talking about in that challenge, I think that there's a misconception sometimes about people that achieve success, that given that I will hear terms like, oh, you know, that's so fortunate, or you're so blessed, hashtag blessed. And I can't stand that stuff. I mean, that really, it does become a pet peeve of mine that anybody that's achieved anything, you ask anyone that's achieved any sort of level of success and ask them how damn hard they've had to work every single day in order to make that happen, or what they went through in order to have the broadened mind that they had, and how just what sacrifices they had to give up, whether it was time with their families or time with their kids or the blood, sweat, and tears. Things don't just fall in people's laps. People have to work really hard to do that. So my offering to you before we get over and we hear what Eddie went through in his powerful story is to first, we got to get up. So, you know, whether it is from falling down or whether you're still just sitting your lazy ass on a couch, and some of you are still doing that, it's time to get up, put the bong down and get up. This is a different kind of hot box now. This is a strategic hot box. It's a different kind of hot box. It's time to get up and make some shit happen. And second, I frame it as wear comfortable shoes. I look at it as you never want to get into a place where what you're thinking about when you're wearing the sexy club heels is your feet, right? I always want to be in a place where I can take off running. I never know what situation I'm going to be in, and I want to be able to wear comfortable shoes. And I mean it in a metaphoric way. I mean it in the fact that don't put yourself in a place where you're creating your own challenges. Wear comfortable shoes and go after it. Get up and go after it. And the final thing is to find solace. And this one is easier said than done. In some of the tragedies that I've faced, there's been darkness. Tragedy in my experience has brought darkness. And I think the most challenging piece is finding challenging component of that is finding peace. And if we can find peace or solace in the tragedy, then there's a focus or opportunity for growth in focusing on the future. And so if we can get up, get those comfortable shoes on, or just get, you know, the mindset on the future and find solace that maybe the tragedy, the challenge, the frustration, the failure, the thousandth failure is intended, then it's going to make you stronger. And so how do we go forth in the world having that strength within us? And no one knows this better than my friend Eddie Garcia. We go way back to the softball fields. And so if any of our softball friends or cohorts or cronies are listening to the live recording today, before I formally introduce you, I want them to know that you can put some questions in. So if you want to haze your good friend here, then please haze away. But Eddie is a motivational speaker and youth sports coach. You have your bachelor's in communications and sociology from Cal State Fullerton. You've got your master's in educational leadership from the University of Phoenix. Right. You were the 2013 Youth Coach of the Year from the National Alliance of Youth Sports. You've spoken alongside Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama. I love her. In Building a Healthier Future Summit in Washington, D.C. You've done a lot of amazing, amazing things. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Brandy. I'm really excited to be here with you.
So please tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, you know what? I'm obviously still living it. What happened to me five years ago? I was in the best shape of my life. I had dropped about 30 pounds. I was exercising on the regular. I was playing softball three nights a week. So I can't tell you that I was without a doubt just conditioned. I was feeling great. Because of all the work that I was putting in just to get stronger, better. I mean, I was a hefty 2-something, and I had gotten myself down to like 160, strong, wow. Lean, muscular. And then one day, I started developing what I thought was a flu. Now, my wife, she actually was sick, and it was believed that she had contracted strep throat, mm-hmm. and she had missed the whole week of work. So what did I think? Oh, well, my wife was sick. Right. I contracted what she had.
Sure.
So, this was on a Sunday when I started feeling sick, went to work on Monday. And on Monday, I was getting exponentially sicker by the minute. And
really?
I've never experienced anything like that. I was at lunchtime. I was supervising kids, working for the Clark County School District. When all of a sudden I said, you know what? This isn't working. I need to go home. And so I went, I told my principal, I told my boss, you know what, I'm not feeling well. He said, you know what, go home. And if you don't feel better tomorrow, don't come in. Well, I went home and I passed out. And, you know, people usually say that kind of metaphorically where,
sure.
Oh, I passed out and stuff like that. I literally passed out.
Literally.
And I kept waking up in the living room. I found myself in the bathroom. I was knocking things over without really realizing it. Well, the following day, I was so sick that I finally texted my wife as she was getting off of work, and I told her something's definitely wrong. She got me to an urgent care clinic, and they kind of diagnosed me with what they thought was a flu. They took some blood work. They were going to give me some antibiotics, send me on my way. And as I was getting off the examination table, boom. Passed out.
Oh no!
And the next thing I know, I'm being revived by the nurses, Mr. Garcia. And now from there on, all I can do is really hear people, mm-hmm. not see anymore. I wasn't coherent enough to really know what was going on, but I can hear we got to get him to the hospital now. And the blood work, they rushed it very quickly, and they found out that I was in renal failure. My blood was septic. And
so your organs are
everything.
Failing?
I was failing. I was in shutdown mode, and they rushed me to the hospital. And I only remember waking up weeks later.
Wow.
With my arms and feet, they were basically, they went from flesh and bone to petrified wood. Wow. And I could still see it. I still remember it as black, and no, I couldn't move it or do anything.
So you had your limbs still, but they were black and gone.
They were gone. And after that, that's when, you know, people started telling me what had happened. I survived what after speaking with the nurses, some of these nurses have now even become my friend, even to this day. They told me that that under the conditions that I was under, with the IV drips going through, they can tell if you're getting so many drips per minute, if the person's probably not going to make it or what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they told me that after watching what was going on, they said it's like there's say your prayers, get the family together, all stuff. But they had diagnosed me with a flesh-eating bacteria in my thigh. How, where, what, how I got it.
A flesh-eating bacteria in your thigh.
A flesh-eating bacteria in my thigh. And you know what? I'm so, you know, the cliche of being blessed. I am blessed that my wife actually spotted a bruise that exponentially was growing fairly quickly.
In that process, she spotted.
She's the one that spotted it.
Does she have a medical background?
Not at all.
Oh my gosh.
Not at all. And so she saw, she's like, oh, he's had a pulled muscle for the last 2 weeks, and there's a bruise right there that's growing like a size of a dime, a nickel, a quarter, and just started growing. Then that's when the doctor started.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. And then that's when he started thinking, uh-oh, we may be dealing with a flesh-eating bacteria. But just like, have you ever been checked out for strep throat?
Sure.
And they do the swab,
and
it takes a couple of days before you get the results because they have to grow the bacteria.
Right.
And that's what happened. That's what ended up happening to me. They had to take a sample and
meanwhile, it's eating your flesh.
Meanwhile, it's destroying me, and they put me on the strongest antibiotics known to man to try to keep me alive. And when they finally determined that it was a flesh-eating bacteria, I was in no condition of any kind for anything other than call your family. He's not going to survive. I don't think he's going to make the night. So when they took me to surgery, I can't imagine what it was like for my poor wife, Antoinette, to have to make the decision. Look, we can try to play this out, or we can go in and have him, try to perform surgery to save him. And they said, well, what are the odds? Not very good. Well, how stable is he for surgery? Not good at all. We're probably going to lose him. Just transporting him from the room to the operating table.
Making me emotional, Eddie. Yes.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's absolutely no way, Brandy, that I should be here in front of you, looking at you. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. I believe that I'm the luckiest man alive, in the sense that I was given a second opportunity to continue living the life that I was hoping to live. I can do so much more in this condition with no hands and no feet. I can help so many more people now than I ever could with hands and feet. And that's what I thought I was doing my whole life, because I was working for the school district, working at a behavior school for 7 years, trying to change the lives of kids that have gotten in trouble. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm pushing paper and, you know, pen and behind a desk. Wasn't anything of what I've been able to do in the last 5 years without the hands and feet. So I'm taking advantage of this opportunity to help others. And sometimes it's not by what I say, it's by how I live my life. Right. I don't sit in my bed. I don't wallow in self-pity. Oh, I don't have hands.
But my God, I think anybody listening, you know, would it would have been okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's that to have something so tremendous occur to... I mean, so many people would have.
Brandy, but I think, you know what? I think it comes down to how just my background experience, my life's lessons, the things.
It's a choice. You know,
but it was a choice. But also, there's things that happened in my life that I still think are much worse than having lost my hands and feet. My dad, who was my idol, my rock when I was growing up, died when I was 9 years old, and I walked into the house when he was laying there, you know, hanging on to life. He was suffering from a aneurysm.
Okay.
And so I was watching him pass away, and I lost
nine
him
years old,
wow. And my daughter was 9 years old when all this is happening. So I can only imagine my daughter, my son would be growing up right now without the father. And I know how hard it was for me to grow up without a dad.
Right.
And but there was so many teachers and men and people that filled that void, that now I just believe I'm trying to become that person that
what that you've been that, given the chance to be.
That I've been given that chance to be.
So you went into surgery, and then what came out of that? They removed some of your limbs?
You know what? It's kind of the story of my life about not giving up.
Yeah.
The doctor went in the first time, and he tried to remove the bacteria. And I was telling you how what a bad situation it was. I was supposed to survive the surgery. I survived it, but they still didn't get all the bacteria. It was still destroying my body. So the doctor again asked my wife, you know,
go back.
Can we go back? And she's like, I mean, yeah.
What are you gonna say?
Sure.
Right?
What do you say? You're gonna lose him either way. And so they went in. They did it a second time. Randy, they still didn't get it.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't get it. And I mean, talk about a miracle. The doctor could have easily just have amputated my full leg from just from right underneath my hip. And he didn't. He decided to go in there one more time. Talk about the story of my life has always been about not giving up. And then there's a doctor who doesn't know me. And all of a sudden he didn't give up. And he went in there a third time and he finally removed it. But a lot of people think that I lost my hands and feet to the flesh-eating bacteria, but it was actually the medication to continue. I had lost so much blood. I had blood transfusion after blood transfusion. My blood pressure was so low. I mean, they still could have lost me at any time. I was on respirators. So the medicine to save my life also caused the loss of circulation in my hands and feet, which gave me a frostbite effect.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So now I live my life with a Nike wristband and a stylist here.
Yes.
And prosthetic legs and I
how
can tell
far
you,
do your may I ask how far do your prosthetic legs go up?
You know what? It's right below. I have limbs all the way to below my knees.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm fine. I hear stories about people that have lost it above the knee and stuff like that. And I know that my life would be completely different if I didn't have my elbows and my knees. So I mean, I'll take it for what it's worth.
Sure.
Could have been much worse. It wasn't. I have a wonderful wife, two wonderful kids. And
here you are talking with me now.
Absolutely.
Wow, amazing. So what was an unexpected learning that you faced in the journey?
You know what? The unexpected learning was basically that I had built so many relationships over the course of my life, whether it be leadership, whether it be personal, whether friends, family. I mean, my high school teachers, I mean, 20 years earlier, were coming from California because I'm originally from Southern California, St. Paul High School. They came to visit me in my room here in Las Vegas. I mean, I'm opening my eyes and there's Jim Mayer, Susie Rosales. They're right there. They're there with their family and they came all the way down here to visit me. I mean, it's so funny, but you don't know the impact you're going to make on people. And I think that was kind of the unintended learning that came about all this, that throughout the course of your life, you're making an impact on people every single day, no matter where you are, no matter what you do. So be kind, be nice, and keep pushing forward because, like I said, I think people respond to me because I always say, don't give up. And in my teaching, when I used to be a school teacher and so on, I always told kids, don't give up. And I think this is the perfect example that now I can show the kids. My kids wouldn't blame me if I gave up right now. If my whole life I said, don't give up, and I gave up right now, they'd be, oh, well, poor Eddie, look at what happened to him.
Right.
But that's not what I want to show kids anymore. I want to show them that, look, something bad happened to me, and true to my word, I didn't give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, no doubt. So you've shared quite a few things about not giving up and the power of that. What other tools do you give to that next generation, or what do you hope to give in the future?
You know what? I've been doing a lot of youth coaching. I mean, I was coaching before I got sick. I'm still coaching now. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build leaders that don't give up, that understand that failure is all right.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna fail. We're going to fail. Things are going to go wrong. And the one thing is, you have to keep on getting up and moving forward. We talked earlier about speaking in Washington, D.C. with Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that actually came about because of a failure that I had with one of my first public speaking
what happened?
Experiences. Well, I went back to my high school, and that was at that time. That was the largest group of students that I had. I had spoken to my largest audience. Well, in the middle of speaking to all of them, just completely lost my train of thought. frozen.
Just like blanked out.
I mean, I was mumbling, trying to come up, and we were in the gym. So I kept on just trying to point at the basketball rim going, and I shot a basket here.
And that's for basketballs.
That's where I walked down the hall. But I mean, I was grasping for air. And there again, just like I've been telling you, my wife, who's just the most wonderful woman who has ever lived. I mean, I am absolutely lucky to have her in my life. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do the things I do. She was able to take the microphone and
did she really?
She filled in for me. But
good for her.
The thing that happened is, I mean, it was in Southern California. The whole ride back home, it was quiet. I was demoralized. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. But the following day, after a night of sleep, there was two options for me. Get myself back up, do the things I need to do, or just lay there in bed and just wallow in the pity and never ever come out again, which no one would ever have blamed me. But what I did was I got a personal speaking coach. I started looking up at YouTube, a lot of my motivational speakers. I started working on my craft and speaking. And the next thing you know, being invited to Washington, D.C. to speak at Michelle Obama. But imagine
and
if I would
boom.
Have. Yeah. But imagine if I would have just laid there and just said, no,
that was too hard.
This is it.
Yep.
Which would have been the easy route.
Oh, yeah.
We would have never had the one of the most wonderful.
I don't take you for the easy route guy now, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I just...
After everything that you've been through, I feel like easy route is some bullshit for you.
You know what? you can say it how you want, but you know what? Even earlier in years, you know, you're talking about Michael Phelps being, mm-hmm. you know, 6'4" or, mm-hmm. or what have you, all that. I mean, I'm 5 foot nothing. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete, and I just wanted to be just good enough to play. And I was always, when I was in high school, I won most motivational my freshman year, 110% award. I was never good, but I was always
most spirited.
Spirited, exactly. You know, most, you know, keep the bench warm, you know, whatever, right. You know, all those things. But I think those, you know, all those things really led me to be the person I am today and to help me get through when it got really, really tough, like losing your hands and feet. Mm-hmm. It really helped me, especially because earlier in on one of your shows, they were talking about having no regrets. Mm-hmm. People ask, do you miss playing softball? Do you miss mm-hmm. this? Do you miss that? And I say, no. And they're like, how can you not? I would totally be. I go, because I don't have regrets. I don't regret the way I played. I played with recklessness, abandonness. I always ran everything out. I can honestly say there was no doing things half-ass. Mm-hmm. Everything I did was full speed. My mom would always tell me, mijo, you got to slow down. You're always bruised up and this mm-hmm. and that. And I go, I don't want to live any other way. I'll take the bumps and bruises. And go figure, this happens to me, and I can look back and go, I'm not
the
guy.
I was balls out.
I was
yep.
balls out. Absolutely. That's mm-hmm. that's what I was going to use. Balls out all the time. All
I'm
the
with
way.
You. So, I'm on the same
yeah,
level.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the way I play. And you know what? Believe it or not, that's actually how I still live my life. Mm. Every day is a beautiful day to me. I'm always thinking about what I'm going to do that day. What amazing experience is going to happen to me. The other day we were in California and our truck broke down right in the middle of downtown LA. All power. Mm, the
lovely.
Alternator breaks down. Me and my wife, most people, oh man, what a tragedy, this and that, so on and so forth. Well, me and my wife talk about what a great weekend we just had.
Oh,
I mean, just the experiences of things that happen,
yeah.
You know, so.
That's great. That's great. And that is an interesting perspective that you say that people have asked you, do you miss certain things about life before? And that is an interesting spin that you've created in that and not looking back as opposed. And now you're looking forward and saying that it's a new life that you're creating.
Yeah, you can't. I've always believed that you can't look back, because when you look back, there's a lot of mistakes you've made. There's a lot of things that have happened and so on, when there is so much more to look forward to. Mm-hmm. There's so much more. I totally believe in creating the environment and the culture and everything that you want to live in. I mean, and for example, right now, me and my wife, our house is a place that we want to be at. We want mm-hmm. we created an environment for our children. You were talking about your kid, you know, giving your kids everything they want, things you didn't have. Mm-hmm. All these things that we are building right now, we didn't have growing up.
Sure.
And we're just taking advantage of everything we can to make our world
together mm-hmm. with our children the happiest that it can absolutely be. My kids don't even see a disabled dad.
Yeah.
They don't. They roll their eyes like any teenager. They don't coddle me mm-hmm. or anything like that. And I love that.
They still beat on you?
All the time. All the time. They jump on me Aww. And stuff like that. And I'm hoping, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, they'll look back, because I don't think they realize it right now. I hope that someday they'll look back and they'll say, wow, you know, dad was a kick-ass guy, you know?
They will.
And it's not something I'm telling them.
Use that word yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. No, they'll get in trouble at school. They'll get sent to one of our behavior schools that I used to run.
How can people get a hold of you if they'd like to?
Well, they can get a hold of me at eddiegarcia.org.
Okay.
You know, and all my information's there, Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth. And if they want also, they can also go to your website
yep.
or contact you. And that's about it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your story. Thanks for making me cry on the podcast, Eddie. And I just, what you've been through is amazing. And I really appreciate you inspiring others and looking to the future and just sharing your heart. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Brandy.
Let's get out to the shout out.
Hi, I'm Meredith Fretz from Staten Elementary School, and you're listening to the one and only Brandy Stankovic on Strategic Hotbox.
Thank you so much to Eddie for being here, and thank you to Meredith for giving us that amazing shout out. Also a local Las Vegas educator shouting out to us at the Hotbox. So hello to Meredith. So now is my favorite time. It's a perfect time to wrap it all in together. It's time to kick some ass. Here's your top five kick ass. Number one, when it comes to perseverance, I want you to define what perseverance means for you. It isn't a judgment call. It isn't about rating tragedy. It isn't my tragedy is worse than your treasure, you don't know what I've been through, or you don't believe what it was like back in my day, or any of that. It doesn't matter. It's to find what perseverance means to get through it and get what you have to do to get it done. And then secondly, to get up. I said it, Eddie said it, and no matter what, do it. It doesn't matter what you're getting up from. Again, if it's a tragedy, or if you're just lazy and need to put the bong down, it's time. It's time to get up and make it happen. Nobody can do it but you. Number three, wear comfortable shoes. Again, metaphorically, but get out there and don't get in your own way. Quit telling yourself that you're not good enough. Do whatever you have to do to get your path going towards success. One of the things that Eddie mentioned was regrets. Get the regrets out of the way. So you're going forth in focusing on the future and not living in the past. Number four is to find solace. Find peace in what has occurred, any challenges that you face. Look at it as a learning experience or a part of the process that you've been. It's gotten to you to this point right here. I recently just saw the Carpool Karaoke with Katy Perry. Random kind of reference that I'm making here, but it was hilarious. And one of the things that she said when she was asked about her fashion faux pas of the past, that she says she loves all the mistakes she's made in the past because those mistakes have led her to the mistake that she's making right now. And I love that. I just love that the idea of the fact that, yes, make mistakes because this mistake is leading you to this moment. And life is so precious. Live balls out. Live every day. Live like you can't live another minute because this, you never know what's going to happen. And number five is to share your story. Thank you to Eddie for sharing his story with us today. And get out there and share your story with others. You may inspire people to do more with what they have and to get up and to persevere. There's your top five kick ass. Thank you again to Eddie and to Meredith for being here today. We'd love to hear from you, our listeners and watchers, on topics that you'd like for us to tackle here at the Strategic Hot Box. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at Brandy Love or on Instagram at Strategic Hot Box or at Brandy Love, or email us podcast@strategichotbox.com. For ongoing access to me and executive coaching tools, you can get all the links to anybody that's ever been on the show, leadership development exercises, and a network of people that just really are kicking ass and making things happen, visit thestrategichotbox.com. So many people lately have been asking me for like a jump start and how do I get started? Where do I, you know, go from here? What can I do to just get my feet wet or to just start making things happen? And so we created something called a detox, a leadership detox. And it's a really quick 30-day thing to help you in your journey. And so get out there, download it. It's a piece of cake and it's available for you right now at thestrategichotbox.com. Until I see you again, Get out there and kick some ass.